Well, you're there in Daniel chapter 9. Let me read verse 25, 26. We've preached through 25 and 26, and we started, of course, at the beginning of Daniel, but now we're getting to verse 27. But I'm, for the sake of context, I'll begin there in verse 25. And it says here, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem," okay, there's a time span, "and then unto," going to another time span, that's the Messiah, the Prince, that's King Jesus, "it shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's a total of 62. The wall, even in troublesome times." It's talking about the city and the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 26, "And after 62 weeks, there's your 62 weeks again, shall Messiah be cut off." That's Calvary. That's where the Lord was crucified. "And but not for himself, and of the people, destroy the city and the sanctuary." Now, just let me clarify real quick. That prince is not the same prince that was referred to in verse 25. This prince is referring to the Antichrist. And I'll explain more in just a moment. But it says that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, because we know the Lord Jesus is not coming to destroy the sanctuary. And it says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood," and that's the idea of a flood of destruction. "And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." And then that brings us to our verse this morning, verse 27. We're going to see the pronoun here, he, three times, and it's referring to the Antichrist, the great deceiver. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." What we have here in verse 27, church, is the 70th week. We've been talking about the 70 weeks that dealing with Daniel's prophecy. We found that in verse number 24. 70 weeks are determined. And we're going to speak what is going to happen during this 70th week. Who's it going to involve? And we're going to talk about a few of those things. But one of the things we're going to notice right off is that we see here is that this 70th week will begin with a covenant. Now, you ask, so when is this 70th week going to start? Well, we do know it will start with a covenant according to this verse. But one of the things we know from the Word of God is that the church will not be here when it starts. The church, as we see, if you look to the student of the Bible, looks to the book of Revelation from chapter 4 to chapter 19, and during this period of tribulation, you do not hear the church spoken of. The church is absent because the church has been called up to Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Brinson, when is that going to take place? I don't know, but we better be ready. The Bible declares it's soon. We don't know how soon. God's timeline and our timeline are totally different. And it could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now. I don't know. And I'm not a date setter, but I do know we better be ready. Because it could be at any time. And so that will take place. And then when that takes place, you can only imagine the chaos will start. I mean, imagine as the Lord Jesus will call and call His bride to the clouds, to call the church, the body of Christ. We will go up. We will be called out of here. And guess what? Life will go on. But it won't go on the same. You can imagine the Christians that are driving their cars that day. Can you imagine? And that's going to be when they caught up, and there'll be crashes all around. I don't know. I know they got autopilot with airplanes these days, but buddy, I'm telling you what, I don't want to be on a plane with just autopilot. But that will happen. The rapture will take place. They'll be even a little bit closer, amen. And you might be on a plane when the rapture happens. Wouldn't that be neat? And just caught up in the air, caught up into the clouds, and there will be Christians will be raptured out of this earth. And it will just be all those that have yet to trust Christ. It'll be all those that have rejected the gospel. It'll be those that will be left behind. And then the question is, how long after the rapture does this covenant start? Well, the Scriptures aren't exactly clear on that. But one thing we can determine, that you can imagine the chaos that will start taking place after the rapture. There needs to be someone that's going to step on the scene and bring peace and order. People are going to be scared to death. They're going to see family members gone. They're going to see neighbors gone. They're going to see co-workers gone. Man, there's going to be people gone all over the place. And there's going to be somebody on this earth that's got the ability and the superpower to bring everybody together in an agreement and bring security and to bring peace. And I tell you what, Satan has just got just the person. He's called the Antichrist. He will step on the scene and he will bring peace like none has ever even thought of bringing. We've never seen peace on this earth, dear friend. But that man, the Antichrist, he will bring it. He will talk the Jews, the Jewish nation, into signing an agreement, a covenant that will be for 7 years, as they say. And it will be for protection. It will be that they will allow to be able to worship like they want to. Because remember, I'll tell you this. Some of our Jewish friends, some of their greatest friends, my dear friends, are Christians. You think about that. We love the Israel nation. If you don't, you should. And we love the Jewish people and we love the Jewish nation and we pray for their salvation. We pray that they will see that Jesus was their Messiah. We do pray that. But you can imagine when Christians are lifted up out of this place, the world will turn against them more severe than they ever have before. I believe that. And they will be fearful. They will be scared. And not that the Americans are the only one protecting them. I'm telling you, God's protecting them, but there's going to be a sense of fear in their hearts and minds. And I believe that will be the perfect scenario for the beast, the man of perdition, the Antichrist. You see, I'm going to go through this briefly because for the sake of time, I don't want to be too redundant here, but let me move through the 70 weeks. We discussed about how each of these weeks represents 7 years. That brings us a total of 490 years that we see here in our passage. And that broken up looks like basically the first 7 weeks was 49 years. You'll remember that that was from the decree of Artaxerxes to Ezra to rebuild Jerusalem. And from that time to, I believe, the baptism of Christ. From that to the rebuilding of Jerusalem was 49 years. But there was a continuation. There was no break. That would continue the next 62 weeks, which is a total of 483 years. Well, what would happen from then? Well, you have from the building of Jerusalem and to the coming of the Messiah would be 483 years. So, The ministry of Christ started, which I believe is to the point they're talking about. The good men differ on exactly when that took place. Some say the triumphant entry. I understand those perspectives, but I go with the date of His baptism. The anointed one, which that's what Messiah means. He is the anointed one. The Lord Jesus was anointed, to live on this earth and to go to Calvary. And that's exactly what he did. So we have the 62 weeks, all right? But we're left with some more time here. So we see here, so that leaves us with the 70th week because we got the 62 plus 7, and I was not a math major. I'll tell you that right now. But Brother Tim, I know you were, and you can help me out sometime. I need some tutoring, I'm telling you right now. But that equals how many weeks, folks? What's 62 plus 7? What do we got? All right, we got 69 weeks right there, okay? So that is our time frame, so that leaves one more week. Well, where is that week? That week is found in verse 27. That is the 70th week. And that, my friends, is the week of the 7 years of tribulation. And we're going to not see a great amount of detail like you will see in Revelation. And as you will see in other accounts of the second coming of Christ and Zechariah and Isaiah. But we do have an account here nevertheless that shows us a little glimpse of this 70th week. Now again, the church is gone at this point. But we do know where they're at. They're with the Lord. But we see something very specific here. And it's someone, and that is he, that has confirmed the covenant. Now, again, he was able to do that because of chaos. Satan has set him up on scene to bring peace. He's made a covenant, and he's deceived many, many people. You know, he's still doing that to this day. He still deceives. And I want us to bring out some elements here on the subject of deception. Because we see that's exactly what happened in this great tribulation time. He took advantage of a situation and totally confused the people and deceived the people. And would turn his back on them. And boy, is not he doing that same thing. Listen, Satan's, ever since the fall, he's been the same, has he not? Did he not deceive Eve? Bible says he deceived Eve. He deceived Eve. He went to her first and deceived her, thinking that she could get away with eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She thought she could do it. She thought she could be like God. She thought she could get away with it. But we saw the end results there. And the list goes on. Even the Lord Jesus will make comments about this deceiver. This thing of deception, it's very real. And we've never seen anything to this level, though, friends. People are going to be blinded. Totally, spiritually blinded to this man. And those that do refuse, oh, my dear friends, you're talking about putting a mark, literally, they will be marked with the mark of the beast. They will be labeled. They will be destroyed as much as possible. They will be. And those that refuse, of course, have no chance of survival. But we see that he will deceive many. You know, I think of this story that I heard thinking about deception. Effie Smith, he was a capable lawyer who had quick wit, and he even served with a British Attorney General from 1915 to 1919. And this story gives the account of he was cross-examining a young man who had claimed to be injured because he was hit by a bus, and obviously was claiming the bus at fault. And he was trying to take advantage of the situation, and he talked about how he injured his arm. So this cross-examiner, F.E. Smith, said to him, "Will you please show us how high you can lift your arm?" And boy, with great pain, he sought to lift his arm up, grimacing. You could see his face, and that's how far he could do it. And he said, "Okay, sir, thank you." He said, "Now, sir, would you please show us how high you could raise your hand before the accident?" He said, "Yes, sir." He lost the case. You see, he was a deceiver. He was trying to deceive the court, but he was showing out. And I'm telling you what, the Lord, people are trying to deceive the Lord. People are trying to deceive each other. And this Antichrist will seek to deceive others, and he will. But there will be a day when Jesus steps on the scene and there will be no deception. But until then, how do we handle the deception of the enemy? It's very real. It's going to be real in the tribulation like none could ever think of. But what are we doing until then? Well, I tell you, we got to be ready. You know, I think about that school teacher who lost her life savings. And you've heard of those stories either in the newspaper or television. They even have shows on it now. I think the show is called Greed or something, or American Greed. And they show these instances where people are taken advantage of and swindled out of millions of dollars. And you think, oh, how did they fall for that? How could they go for that? They were deceived. And this one lady specifically, her investment disappeared. Her dreams were shattered. She lost everything. And so she went to the Better Business Bureau. And basically they said, "Why on earth, ma'am, did you not come to us first? Why didn't you come to us about this situation?" The official asked. And didn't you stop to think about the Better Business Bureau? And get her response. It was this: "Oh yes, sir," she said sadly, "I've always known about you." But she said, "But I didn't come because I was afraid you would tell me not to do it." She was deceived. She wanted that, and she was afraid to be exposed. And I want to tell you, folks, if we want to understand deception and how to avoid deception and be protected, we got to bring ourselves to the Word of God and let God to teach us to be discerning people. Not to be deceived so easily. And that's what I believe God will allow us to do as we look to His Word. She was deceived. The people of the tribulation will be deceived. God says they'll believe a lie. Not only does it say we don't have time to go there, but in 2 Thessalonians it talks about how he's great deceitfulness. And even God will send them strong delusions, those that have rejected the gospel. What can we learn from this 70th week? Well, there are several things that we can learn. I want us to see, number one, this man of perdition that he's talking about, the Antichrist. We need to understand that's been his character from the beginning. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said to these Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And my dear friends, he is in true character as he goes across this world, even today, deceiving people left and right. It's a very real thing. I don't think it's going to be too hard for the Antichrist during this 70th week of tribulation. He will assure them peace. He will assure them comfort. He will assure them protection. Is he not doing that same thing today? He is. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. We see here it's true character of the wicked one. So what does that say to the people of God? And if you're sitting here this morning and honestly you don't know whether or not you have a relationship with Christ, can I tell you, there is an enemy that would seek to deceive you from understanding the gospel. But thankfully, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And what is it that overcometh the wicked one and evil in this world? It is faith. It is the victory. And we'll see that as we understand the true gospel. But we see that is the character of Satan to deceive. But not only that, this is what else you have. And we all fall in this category. It is the tendency of the human nature to be deceived. There's not a person in this room that is outside of the realms of being deceived, being taken advantage of. We all can be vulnerable. We all can be in these situations. And I'm sure we all could give a story in here where there have been times in our life where that has happened. Listen to what the Lord said about this in 2 Timothy 3:13. He said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Get this. Deceiving. Deceiving and being deceived. We're seeing more and more of that, aren't we? Every wave of doctrine, here and there, people will go for it. They'll take it right in. It breaks my heart to see the things we see in today's society. People going for whatever. I mean, you know, people are making millions, are they not? Off people, deceiving people. I mean, if you have a television, if you don't, that's fine, that's good. But if you do, boy, you can't go without seeing commercials from time to time or going across that channel where you got Mr. High and Mighty pastor or whatever and million-dollar complex or whatever who is guaranteeing that if you send some money, he would send a blessing your way. He would send maybe a little bottle of water or something that you can drink. And we laugh at that. It's sort of comical to us. But listen, it's happening every day. People are being deceived. Listen to what James said about our own human nature being deceitful. James 1:22, he says, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, get this, deceiving your own selves. Why would he ever say that? Because he knows it's a tendency of the human nature. Listen to 1 Corinthians. It says, "Let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." What a warning to me What a warning to you, dear friends, that the moment we get to life and we think we got it all together, we think we got it all figured out, and we think we can move along without God, I'm telling you what, we are totally opening ourselves up to being deceived. Deceived by self, deceived by Satan, and I'll tell you what, we can look at the tribulation and see what that leads to. It leads to total destruction. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's a dangerous place to be deceived. How do we combat that? And I want to conclude the service this morning with ways to combat this deception that the enemy, the Antichrist, Satan's work, his workers seek to do in our lives and even do in this passage. Ways to combat the deception that he brings our way. I want to say first of all, wholeheartedly, let's not forget, if you get anything from the message this morning, dear church, please get this. The best way that you can avoid and that I can avoid deception from the enemy is to love and learn the Word of God. It's the Word of God, dear friends. It is the pure, undefiled, infallible, eternal Word of God. It's loving this book. It's learning this book. It's letting this book live through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is how we avoid deception. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews told these dear Christians during this time. Listen very carefully. He says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, he says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." You know what he's saying here? The things that are elementary, we're having to come over again and again. Listen to what he says. "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern." To discern good and evil. In other words, what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, listen, Christians, get off the milk and get on the meat of the Word of God. Stop just being that one that is always takers of the Word, which is nothing wrong with being a listener. I'm going to talk about that. It's necessary. But be those ones who get into the Word of God yourself. Boy, I tell you what, I would count myself a successful pastor if I could reach a level to encourage the people of this church to always make this book number one in their life. I would count myself a successful by the terms and by the view of Almighty God, I believe, if I can direct people to His Word. Folks, listen, I say a lot of words, and I realize that. But listen, don't ever let my words replace God's Word. And my goal as a pastor is for my words to match this Bible, but I'll tell you this, I've told you before, I'll tell you again, if I ever speak out of terms of this book, you hold me accountable. Because this book will always be right. There will be times that Brother Brinson is wrong, but this book, never. Never. It's pure. That's why I want to encourage you, church, and that's why we should love this book and be in it every day. And I love our daily bread. I do. I think those devotions are good and helpful, but don't let it replace the study of God's Word. We need to be in it. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll do that, Satan hates that. Because you're going to be able to discern when he comes to throw some trickery your way. He's going to try to deceive you into thinking that you can do these evil things and be okay, just like he did with Eve. But boy, when you got your spiritual antennas on and you've been in the Word, I'm telling you what, Satan tries to come and bring that mess your way, you're going to discern some things. The Holy Spirit's going to whisper in your heart, "Hey, you need to be careful right there. You need to put that to my Word. You need to search that out. Something's not right with that." Hey, God does that, doesn't He? Aren't you thankful for those friends when, man, you're taking something, hook, line, and sinker, And man, you feel like you got it. Boy, you feel like, man, you have really made the greatest invention in the world by discovering something. A new way to make money. That's where you always get in trouble. But aren't you thankful for those friends that will say, brother, you might want to think of another thing about too or about that. So you might want to really pray about that. You might want to talk to some other people about that. Something doesn't seem right. Well, can I tell you, that's what the Holy Spirit will do as you are in this book, reading daily, loving it with all your heart. Boy, when you come to these situations where Satan will try to deceive you, you will be able to discern good and evil. It's a love for this book. It just doesn't find its place on a shelf all week just to be picked up and put back every Sunday. Oh no, my dear friends, it is to be picked up, the precious book of God, every day of our life. I know we're living in a day and age where people use the electronic version. I'm not condemning that at all. You pick up your iPhone or whatever, get the scriptures on it, read through it. Hey, I'm telling you what, the only thing I don't like about that, and I'll just put my little say-so in it, is most likely one day it'll be lost. And your children won't be able to see the notes you took or the things you put in your Bible. Those digital files, they can get lost so more easily. That's what I miss about pictures. Everybody gets 5,467 pictures. But we don't ever get them printed. But you know what? That's the truth about God's Word too. Get you a book you can take notes in. One day you'll be able to pass down to your children, your grandchildren, and they can open it up and say, look what Mama put in here. Boy, look what Daddy wrote in his Bible. Look what Granddaddy wrote, how God spoke to him. Hey, let the Word of God be precious to you, folks. And I believe you'll be discerning people. I believe I'll be a discerning pastor, a discerning Christian, if we'll make much of the Word of God. But not only do we study and obey it, but then we make a habit of listening to it. I'm so thankful for each of you. I want you to know that. It encourages my heart as a pastor, but I want to tell you, it encourages and blesses the Lord even more so. Because He knows the battles we face. He knows the battles you faced last week. He knows the battles you're going to face this week. But you made it a point to be in the house of God this morning. And you may have fought it. Satan may have talked you out of it. He may have tried to throw an excuse your way. Well, maybe we'll just go another time. But no, you said, no, we need to go and listen to the Word of God. And I commend you for that, and God commends you more, and because we know the importance of being under the sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's so important, folks. That's what concerns me about some of our mega churches in our country. I'm not opposed to mega church. If God blesses a church with thousands of people, I'll say praise God. But what concerns me is when those mega churches are leaving out the Word of God. That's where it becomes a major issue. But you want to go to a place where you can hear the sound preaching of the Word of God. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. By the way, there are preacher friends of mine, and I have failed too, and I don't want to fail here, but that we reprove, rebuke, and exhort without longsuffering. That's a sin, friend. For me as a pastor, I'm to do that with long-suffering and doctrine. And he says this in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't be able to take it. I can't listen to that. I'm going to live my life. And then it goes on to say this, having itching ears, they after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers. And then they shall turn their ears from the truth. From the truth, the Word of God says, and shall be turned into fables, lies, trickery. Listen, I'm sorry, but there are a lot of good churches in our community, and I know that. This church is not the only good church in this community. There's definitely good Bible-believing churches, and I'm thankful for. But I'm telling you right now, I'll tell you and I'll tell anybody. Listen, if you go into a church and tells you to come as you are, that's good. I say that too. But if they give the impression that it's okay to stay as you are, that's fulfilling that verse right there. God expects people to change. And if they have the power of the Spirit of God, the Word of God says that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. God expects us to come as we are just to Him. And then, boy, He gets a hold of us and starts cleaning us up. Well, I just sometimes I just chuckle and a little embarrassed, honestly. Sometimes I think as a new Christian, the things I was going through. But God has brought me along, and I still got a long way to go. But boy, aren't you thankful that God's always working on us? What a blessing that is. And to know as we listen to the Word of God, I can tell you right now, I've made some very important decisions in my life. And they've been more of the daily decisions of just being reminded of what I needed to do that day. Just some good thoughts, like I was talking about being and studying the Word of God. But you know, some of the greatest decisions, church, I've made in my Christian life. I've been saved 15 years. Some of the greatest decisions that have helped form me and conform me to the image of Christ has been under the preaching of the Word of God. You think back in your life, life-transforming decisions have been under the preaching of the Word of God. Men of God who stood and handled the Word of God carefully and passionately and lovingly and gave it. And the Spirit of God took those messages and helped me when I was veering away from God in some way. And the Spirit of God would say, listen, I'm going to give you some discernment this morning. You're starting to drift. Oh, praise be to Almighty God for the times that He's dealt with me under the preaching of the Word of God. And I've just submitted, and He's probably saved me from a life of destruction because of that. And I give God the praise. Listen to what Paul told Titus. He said, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to do what? Please get this, church. That he may be able to do what? It says that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Those are those people that mock and talk badly about the Word of God and the truth of God. Get this in verse 10. For they are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. The Word of God says that in Titus. It says they're deceivers. How are we to respond to them? And it says here, because you can preach the Word, it says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Hey, I'm thankful that we can be under the sound teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And through that very fact that you're even here on Sundays, and if you're here on Sunday night, if you're here on Wednesday night, wherever you might be, when you can guarantee, when you're under the sound teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, God promises to give you and me discernment. What a blessing, what a comfort. Because I know my heart. Y'all know y'all's heart? If you knew my heart, you wouldn't want me preaching to you right now. And if I knew your heart, I wouldn't want to be preaching to you. Let's be honest. We're so easy to veer. We're sheep, folks. Don't let us forget it. We need to be under the teaching and preaching of this precious book. Men of God, that's why it's so important that you gather your children around the Word of God for family devotions. Even if it's one verse or if it's 40 verses, you're getting your children and your family around the Word of God. You're reading it. You're exposing it, because that, my friend, is what's going to give the family discernment. That's where it comes from. The precious book of God. You know, don't get angry when someone lovingly, and they better do it lovingly, because then they just make their comments vain. But listen, friends, don't ever get angry when another brother or sister shares the Word of God with you and helping you make a decision or help reminding you of a responsibility. They need to do it in a loving way and a compassionate way. But listen to what Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 says. But exhort one another daily. So if you say, I don't want exhortation, you are basically saying you don't want to obey the Word of God. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Get this, lest any of you be hardened, get it, church, through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm telling you what, friends, please don't ever become harsh toward the Word of God. To reading it, loving it, listening to it. And that's why we have Sunday school. we come and we gather, and we had a wonderful lesson this morning, and the Spirit was there and working in our hearts and helping us, and we're becoming discerning people because we're growing in our knowledge and love for the Word of God. Then that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be discerning people. You know, for 15 years, a man by the name of Jim Fix, author of the 1978 bestseller, The Complete Book of Running. I really need to get that book. Maybe I don't. He ran 80 miles a week. Anybody getting that cut right now? Anybody? Josh, I see that hand. He ran 80 miles a week, and he appeared to be in tip-top shape. I mean, I would only imagine. He probably never heard of a Krispy Kreme donut. He was in tip-top shape, and it didn't seem possible that a man his age could be in better condition. Yet at the age of 52, Fix died of a massive heart attack while running in the state in Vermont. His wife, Alice, later said she was certain that Fix had no idea he suffered from a heart problem. Why? Because he refused to get regular checkups. He refused to get regular checkups. And after Jim Fix's death, doctors speculated that his heart was so strong, he may not have had the telltale chest pains of shortness of breath that usually signals arterial heart disease. Jim died of a massive heart attack. And it could have, possibly could have been prevented if he really just would have made himself exposed to a doctor who could have helped him. And my dear friends, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to Him, expose our hearts to Him, let Him see everything, because He does, and say, Lord, I want You, I want Your Word, I want to be a discerning man, I want to be a discerning woman, I want to be a discerning teenager, I want to be a discerning grandparent. I just want to be able to discern good and evil, and I want to love Your Word, Lord. Expose anything, bring me close, help me to live unto Thee. Oh God, I know Satan's wanting to deceive me. And as we'll see here, in that passage, that 70th week, it will be total deception. And we're not going to get into it this morning, but boy, at the end of that deception, when the Lord has seen that enough is enough, King Jesus, we see and read in Revelation 19, we'll get there as we go through Revelation, He's going to show up. And oh boy, the deception will be wiped away. He will be a righteous ruler. But you know, that's then. This is now. Jesus can do the same thing. Show up in your life, clear the fog up, give you discernment, but you got to be willing to let His Word do its work. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your precious Holy Word. Lord, we see a very sad event in our Bibles this morning. An event of total destruction and chaos and deceitfulness. Lord God, please, would You help us to realize that we are still capable of being deceived even in our age. From the garden even to today, and will take place even in a higher degree in the tribulation. Lord, please, would You help us to be discerning people and to love Your Word, to love to read it. Oh God, to love to listen to it, to love to come to the house of God and hear teaching and hear preaching. Lord, would You do a work in us and remind us, oh God, the importance of Your precious Word, that we might be able to avoid the deceitfulness of Satan and the deceitfulness of sin. Lord, I'm asking You to bless. Even during this invitation time, Lord, I'm asking that there will be decisions made. Decisions of, Lord, making some changes about their reading habits. Lord, making some changes perhaps about church attendance. Being faithful to the house of God to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That we might be discerning people. Oh God, would you have your will and way? Would you stand with me with heads bowed, eyes closed, as the musicians begin to play?